Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month. A savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
There's no purpose in teaching anybody who don't really want to learn, who really don't want to get to it. Everybody want to play entrepreneur. They don't want the sacrifice that come with this shit.
Truly. Late nights, early mornings.
You're going to lose friends, lose girlfriends, family going to call you crazy, not going to believe in you, then you make it, and then everybody going to be like, I'm proud of you, let me get some money.
What I've realized that wealthy people understand, and people in general, is the small concepts that you can apply to get wealthy. You don't gotta be super smart and gotta know all the intricacies of real estate or taxes or e-commerce or whatever, trucking, whatever it is.
It's good if you wanna be rich in that business, but you don't need to know that.
You don't need to know everything. You just need to know small, basic concepts. Mm-hmm. And one of the smallest basic concepts that anybody can understand is get money, buy income. Get money, buy more money.
I woke up feeling wealthy today. My bank account might not agree, but hey, that shit on the way. Me and my niggas laying brick on top of brick till we straight. If you the type that play the victim, you can't come in my space. You know this game ain't for the weak, it's hard to carry this weight. I keep my balance through the ups and downs, I'm never gonna break. You feel the purpose in my spirit when you look in my face. Cause this ain't a second, I can waste some good food on place.
What's good with it, my wealth builders? It is your boy, David Bellard, one of the founders of the Black Wealth Renaissance. Here with you, here in the studio, my brother Jalen. How you doing, dog?
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Jalen, man, another founder of the Black Wealth Renaissance. Feeling good, feeling great, looking even better, man. So I can't really complain, dog.
You talking a little spicy.
Yeah, man. Fuck
right.
Yeah, man. I told y'all, we about to stop being so humble and reserved, man. We really do this. I'm excited about this episode. We've been talking a little bit off camera already.
Yeah, man, goodbye already.
It's always great when we link with this guy, man. We came across him, what year was that, 2019?
Yeah.
I think that was
18, whenever we started. Definitely, bro. Yeah, it's been a good conversation so far. Get ready into this episode. Before we get started, got to ask y'all, make sure y'all like, rate, subscribe, leave that 5-star rating and review for you boys.
We need to hit that notification bell and if you're on YouTube.
If you're in the Dallas area, January 28th, we're hosting an event, the Financial Symposium Kickstart 2023. Kickstarted with us in South Dallas. We're going to be out here Blowing Smoke Cigar Lounge with our guys Cuff and Mo from the Vision Lab Podcast. Going to be a great time, great people, good information. Get your tickets in the show notes below.
Yes, sir. But like I was saying, man, every time we link with this brother, it's been great. I remember the first episode we did, I think we was on that thing for like 2 hours, dog.
Yeah, we was.
Ended up dipping out on us. She's like, I got enough of y'all shit. But man, ever since meeting this guy, it's been real genuine. He's a thought leader in our industry. Got mad respect for him. None other than Mr. Xavier Miller. What's up good, with him, my brother?
Good, man. Appreciate chilling, the invite, man. When y'all hit me up and say let's do it again, I said, man, say less. Let's make it happen, man.
Hell yeah,
you gotta
man.
Get that swap done too. You know, I'm bringing y'all on the show.
Hey man, let us know when we're gonna make it happen too, my brother.
Hey man, but glad to have you on again, bro. Like Jalen said. Always did respect and love what you do, hosting the Millionaire Mindsets podcast, one of the top ones out here, doing the thing, really pushing the culture forward, man. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited today to just talk about a lot of different things, but for the people in our audience that ain't familiar with you, just give them a quick introduction to Xavier, man.
What's good, y'all? What's good? So my name is Xavier Miller. I'm from Chicago. I currently live out here in Dallas. I'm the founder and the host of the Millionaire Mindsets podcast. Like I said, I'm from Chicago. I got a military background. I got out in about 2018, I think it was 2019. I can't remember which year it was, but I got out and then I got into entrepreneurship, real estate, investing, all that stuff. Been podcasting for, we started around the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's been like 4 years now.
Yeah. It's going on four years. But
About 4 years. So yeah, that's a quick on who I am.
So man, I really think it's time for us to talk about that podcast. Hell industry, yeah, man. That's something we talked about it whenever we went to Norfolk. We went to Norfolk, Virginia for a Black Diamond Weekend and just talked about a lot of the opportunity in the industry and like how people kind of sleep on the different ways that podcasts, not like it's not just something that people listen to, but this is a whole business, right?
It's a business.
So like with the industry, when did you first realize that podcasting was a business?
That's it, bro. That's a crazy question. I ain't really, so the first about six to 10 months, you know, I was doing it out of leisure. It was fun. It was just something I picked up on. I didn't know you could make money. You know what I'm saying? I didn't look at it
as
like a business. It was just like, man, it's fun, you know, getting the chance to talk to people, meet different people, have conversations, put the information out there. It's all dope and fun. But then I started doing research, more and more research, seeing people making money. You know what I'm saying? Hearing the people doing crazy deals. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking like, wait, this is a bit. Then I realized this is just the entertainment business. This part of the entertainment business at the end of the day. Broadcast. Although we kicking information, we kicking game and value to people, this is the entertainment business. So knowing that, it's a business. I got to act like it's a business. I got to move like it's a business. So, yeah, it took me about, within that first year of doing it, I'm like, yo, this is a business. We got to really build this brand and focus on it and elevate it to as high as we can.
And one of the things that I liked about you, what you were doing with podcasting, kind of like us, you was busting out content.
Yeah.
Like, whenever we first started, dog,
yeah,
like,
crazy.
I remember I was talking to you whenever we went to Sacramento for the Yes Honey Collective. It's like, yeah, man, I'm recording every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, people don't understand some of the work that go into podcasting, right?
Facts.
They see the end product, but they don't know. We've been locked in here since 12 o'clock today. It's 4:32 right now.
Crazy.
And
we still gonna be going after
exactly. And like with you, right? Like y'all was doing. Were y'all recording every weekend at that point?
No, at that point we was recording, bro. We was recording like two, three times a week.
Yeah, we was recording
twice a week.
We was recording like three times in the weekend, like on a Saturday.
Oh,
we'll
weekend,
do
right,
yeah,
right,
we'll
okay.
do bomb, bomb, bomb.
Yeah.
But they don't understand some of the work that go in that. And one of the things that I liked about your show is, once you record, like, that shit coming out ASAP.
ASAP. I don't fuck around.
Don't.
Like, ASAPtual,
yeah.
Dog.
Yeah, because I don't know. Because I never understood why people record. Then they would sit on shit for a month, 6 months. I'd be like, what are you doing? What was your point in recording if you're going to hoard the content like that? That never made sense to me. I'm like, the quicker I get it out, the more engagement I could get, the more reach I can get, the more new people going to find me. Ain't no point in me sitting on it. Just keep it moving. Keep pushing out content. My mentality when I started in the industry was, I ain't have no following. So my mentality was, I got to kick this fucking door down. These people don't know nothing about me. I'm not no celebrity. I think I had like less than 2,000 followers on all social media platforms combined when I started podcasting. So I knew like, if I'm releasing an episode every 2 weeks, once a month, how the fuck these people going to find me? They already don't know who I am. So my mentality like, I got to kick this door in. I'm finna release so much content where you can't ignore me. That was my mentality. And then when the audience came, I was like, okay, I think we could scale back a little bit. Because it was getting to a point where people would hit me up like, man, I'm trying to catch up, but you released so many episodes.
Yeah.
I can't catch up. So I'm like, all right,
currency
we can scale
with
back
the mixtapes,
yeah,
dog.
I was like, we can scale back now.
But that makes sense, though, like flooding the streets. Because that's exactly the same thing we did whenever we first came onto the scene. Now, opposite of you, we did have the Instagram platform.
Right.
So that was one of the big things that led to our growth. But when people start stuff like this and they try to start in the industry, they think, I think that's the number one thing that stops so many podcasts, right? Jalen, I think you both familiar with the numbers than me. They got a bunch of podcasts, but how many of them are, I recorded one episode, two episodes, and then I just put it down and never did it.
It's a lot. Most podcasts, because I did my research, most podcasts has 10 or less episodes.
That's crazy. Because they, you know, it's because they're not seeing the results that they thought they would get.
I was just about to say, what's even crazier is the average listenership on a podcast is 300 listeners per episode, is what a lot of people don't know.
That's crazy. That's crazy, bro.
It's not, it's a low barrier entry. Like, I think that's the thing that get people caught up. And it's also like, because they think it's easy because they see, like, you know, all the memes and shit. Now, the dude, what's his name?
I already know he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, he's funny.
With podcasts, yeah. You got to wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Like, people think it's hilarious. That. It is hilarious, but people, like, it's become a meme now because they think it's so easy to start and grow. But that, what you just said, that's one of the hardest things right there. Like, not only just getting the content recorded, right? But now you got to edit the content. Now you got to get it out there. And then once you get it out there, you got to promote that content.
And editing, creating it, and editing it is the easiest part. Getting it out there to the point where you got some traction and people are actually interested in what the fuck you talking about is the hard part. And everybody talk about how easy. I be like, try to do it yourself. Let's see if your shit blow.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
It probably won't.
More than likely, it's not.
It probably won't.
That's just the reality of it.
Because once again, once people don't see those results that they think they're going to get, they're going to stop. And I kind of want to get into that with you. When did you first see the value in your podcast, right? Like you said, you only had like 2,000 listeners across everything whenever you started.
At State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Starting out, what were your numbers like and what kept you moving forward?
Man, so starting out, I think like the first, we kind of grew really quick to be honest, but that first couple months, I think, I remember vividly the first time we hit 500 downloads total. It was like within the first two or three episodes. And that shit was like the dopest thing in the world to me at the time. I ain't give a fuck about 100,000, a million downloads or nothing. That's just five. Seeing 500 was like, oh, damn, we doing
something. You see them little countries, you're like, wait, niggas out here talking?
Right, I'm like, damn, niggas in the UK listening? I'm like, and at that point, I was doing it for fun. It was strictly fun. So I didn't, if it was 20 listeners, I would have kept doing it because it was truly fun to me. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like the conversations I was having was enjoyable. So at the, you're not losing nothing. The worst thing you lose is time by having a good conversation. And so I wasn't tripping. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I
that's a fact.
I wasn't tripping on like the numbers, nothing like that. But within that first 6 months, it was growing really fast. Though it took off like at a, like after the third month, it started picking up like really fast.
And I think it's important that you just like it started off with that passion side of it, right? Because again, people think they're gonna get in the podcast and they're gonna blow right then and there. You actually have to be interested in whatever the fuck it is you want to talk about. Facts. With people. And you got to be interested in the people you're going to be talking to.
And you got to be a likable person.
You got to be a likable person.
It's true. You got to have some personality. Facts. To yourself. Like, because why I'm going to listen to somebody if you talk like the Clear Eyes Man?
I'm not listening to that
bullshit, nigga. But, like, with the podcast industry, I think one of the biggest things people sleep on is how you can, even if you're small, you can always leverage it and grow your network.
Right.
Like, I remember it was people that I never thought I'd talk to because nobody knew who we were. Nobody knew David Bellard. I'm this dude from Opelousas, Louisiana. I played football at Louisiana Tech, and I didn't even get on the damn field. Like, what you mean? Who are you, sir? And now we getting people like Josh Childress, somebody I watch play sports all. Like, he just like, oh yeah, for sure I'll get on your podcast. It's like, oh, okay. It's something about this that's going, it opens people up a bit more. It's like, it's a value add, mm-hmm. even if your audience isn't big. And what it is instead of you just focusing on like the podcast itself, you can focus on that relationship with that person, and that could pay dividends down the line.
Down the line, yo. That's facts, bro. I agree.
What have you learned most since you started podcasting?
Ooh. Shit, regarding business or just personally?
Give me one of each.
So business, I would say, that's a good question, bro. This is one of the best questions I got asked in a minute. I don't think nobody ever asked me this. Regarding business, it's several things. One of the main ones I would say is it's important to have a tight circle. That's number one. Because as a podcaster, you meeting so many people. And you hearing so many different ideas. So you hear something somebody doing, you be like, damn, maybe I should look into that. You know how that goes? You be like, then you're talking to somebody else, same thing. You like, but at the end of the day, this is working for us. So it's like, we need to just become master of our craft, stick with what we're working with, but also have that small circle where it limits that distractions. And it's people that put value in us, believe in us and stuff like that. So that's probably like the biggest thing regarding business, I would say I learned personally is just how to communicate with people and be a better listener. Yeah. You know, podcasts teach you how to listen. If you really want to be a good podcast ain't nothing but being a good listener. You listening to people and you listening, you can fully understand what they're saying so you could get a proper response. You're not listening to respond, but you listening to get the proper response. You know what I'm saying? So
no, I follow you.
Yeah. That's what podcasting taught me, really, just how to listen to people and really hear what they're saying. I don't want to hear what I want them to say. I'm truly listening to hear what they got to say. You know what I'm saying? And truly understand them. Because everybody's so different. That's what podcasts have shown me. Like, ain't no two people the same. Everybody is so fucking different. It's crazy for real. But that's probably the two biggest things I can think of.
That's a big gem right there, bro, with that listening
communication.
Not to respond. Because to one understand. Of my friends is one of the ones that taught me that, like, a while ago. He told me that when we were in college. He was like, bro, You don't. Sometimes you're not listening to understand. You're listening to respond. And I think when people hear that, they don't always understand what they mean. When you're listening to respond, you already know what you're going
to
say.
You already know what you're about to say, no matter what this person says.
It don't matter what the hell they just said.
You're listening for one point to where they can you can drill down on whatever they said to prove your point.
Exactly. And it's like, that's not conducive to a conversation.
At all.
Nor does it help an interview, especially if you're somebody like, you said everybody personality different, right?
Everybody different.
So somebody might take offense to that, whereas somebody else, they might be like, oh, okay, you thought about this one thing I said, but you just ignore everything else. Now they shutting down. Now they don't want to talk to you no more. It's like, you got to be real skilled and nuanced at that aspect of it. And I think people just think sometimes you just getting on a mic and talking.
Man, how many episodes, let's be real, how many podcasts we done seen where the motherfuckers that's controlling the conversation is terrible at it. You like, well, why they not asking this? Why they keep interrupting? Like, is they really listening to what this person's saying? It's so many podcasts I listen to, I be thinking like, man, turn this shit off. I can't take it. They don't know how to control the conversation. They terrible listeners. They keep interjecting. So it's like, it's a waste of my time. There's a lot of podcasts like that.
That's a fact. Yeah. I've heard a lot of them where it's like, yo, he can't even get through his point. Like, you, if you wanted it to be about you, instead of doing an interview show, you should have just did a single solo pod.
Exactly.
And I think that's another thing I kind of want to get into on the pod side. People think that podcasting is solely what we're doing right now.
Right.
But once you really start to explore the industry, you get to understand that it's so much more. Because once again, whenever we were starting, I really became a student of the game. I'll be honest to y'all. Before we even started our podcast, I told Dave, I didn't know what this shit was. David told me about podcasting.
Yeah, I was a podcast junkie.
Yeah, he was.
I found out about podcast. I listened to everybody's podcast. Yeah. I was listening to your podcast, Charles, EYL, everybody. I was a pod fiend.
Exactly. And like, I turned into the same thing because I wanted to become a student of the game. Right. And so I ended up going into not just conversational stuff. I was like, okay, what's this drama stuff? What is this true murder podcast? And then you go start to listening to all the other things that they can do in this industry. I'm like, damn, this shit really dope. This like, dope. This shit is like theatrics it without... Is. This is like watching movies, but it ain't no movie. It's like I'm still...
Watching movies with just the sound.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is. Because people interested these days, specifically in my opinion, people interested in hearing people's stories, whether they can entertain them, whether they can get them some game and value. People just want to get to know more and more and want to learn more information. I feel like that's... I feel like people listen to podcasts more than motherfuckers that's just watching TV for real. You know what I'm saying? You look at some podcast networks, they're doing bigger numbers than some TV networks.
That's a fact. Wall Street Journal is like one of the top yeah. like downloaded podcasts.
You can look at Joe Rogan.
Crazy numbers.
Crazy. You know what I'm saying? People watch him more than they watch the TV for real. So that shows you how much power it is in podcasting for real. But people still don't. That's, to be honest, we got in at the right time because it wasn't oversaturated. Everybody wasn't creating them. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, 2022, 2023, everybody think it's so easy to make one. When we got in, it was still so fresh and new to a lot of, especially within our community. Mm-hmm. A lot of people was like, well, it wasn't that many options like that. For the stuff we talking about that looked like us, how many options was it really?
Not many, dog.
It was a handful. It was a handful. So we had that early advantage on most people that's going to be hard for people to really catch up to. And that's something that most people don't really understand.
And I kind of want to even hammer into that a little bit more. People might hear you say that and think, oh, man, I can't start a podcast.
Right.
You're still early.
You're still early. You're right.
Because more than half of the United States is not listening to podcasts.
Facts.
So I will say a caveat to that, though. Like, the difference is, so the way Zay built his and the way we built ours, right, there were less options now. Facts. Now you should focus on building a brand before you're starting a podcast.
Yes.
Because if you're just going to start talking on a microphone and thinking somebody want to hear what you got to say, everybody on a microphone. You can go buy the shirt. You can spend the $400 on it if you want. But if...
Why should I listen to you?
Why should I listen to you? Exactly. What value have you given me?
Exactly.
It would be better and more... A better way to start to gain a strong listenership is to do this build a brand first. Like, I think who I seen, she debuted at number one.
Are you talking about B. Simone?
No. In the business category. What's that girl name? Erica taught me. She's a lawyer and she got the TikToks breaking down like
I think a bunch I know of you're stuff.
So
about.
She used the TikTok.
She used the TikTok
to build her brand first, giving value on there first, and then she was able to get the long form content out that people was going to listen to. I think that's a better model now in 2022.
That's crazy.
There's no
2023.
I ain't trying to gas myself or nothing like that. But in 2023, to duplicate what me and Deanna did is going to be nearly impossible. Having no following and grow a platform that quick is going to be nearly impossible.
Facts.
So that's you have to go that route. Like at that time we started, there wasn't an abundance of people like us making this kind of content. It was only...
At State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I think we started before EYL around the same time. So let's say you got us, you got EYL, y'all.
I know we started in March of 2019.
And we
on the pod.
We started the end of December 2018. So
I think y'all and EYL probably start right around the same time.
Yeah, around the same time. EYL, us, y'all, you got Social Proof.
You had Charles Ogilby.
Shout out to Todd.
And that was it. Yeah, that was really it.
So, but now it's a lot. So it's like if you come in the game now, it's gonna be a lot harder. That's just the reality of it is because you starting so much more late, and we got such a more momentum mm-hmm. than the person that be starting with no audience.
That, and we've learned how to navigate the industry as well.
Too. Yeah.
I think that's another thing people discount is understanding how to keep content going, right? Sometimes they might be like, oh man, I just talked about this last week. How do I keep on finding fresh people? How do I keep on finding fresh topics, right?
Facts.
Yeah. Like, how can I go deeper into a subject? Because that's another thing that people don't do. Like, we get real surface level on things, but you can get surface level, but there's some topics that you can go real deep into. And you can start a whole podcast series if you're smart. I'm giving you a play. If you're smart, you can start a whole podcast series on one specific topic.
No, facts.
And you could go, okay, I'm going to have a full episode breaking all of this down.
In deep conversation. That's facts. Especially if you got some people with some personality. You know, that's the key to all this shit. Because at the end of the day, no matter how much game we kick, people want to be, they still want to be entertained to some degree. Mm-hmm. So if you got some, like, let's be real. Imagine a character like Charleston White, but a financially educated Charleston White. He would be the number one.
I ain't gonna lie, that shit would be funny. He would be the number one
business podcast in the world, hands down. It would take time, of course, but a personality like that, people can't turn that shit.
Tell it away from you, scammers.
Look how many people say they hate Charleston White. They can't stand him. But his content viral every day.
Facts.
Every day.
Just because you don't like him don't mean that you ain't paying attention.
Exactly. That's what people get confused. They be like, man, I want motherfuckers to like me. It's like the person that's liked is rarely watched. You know what I'm saying? You got to have some polarizingness to you to make people think like, I hate that motherfucker or I love him. You don't want nobody in the middle. In the middle, that's where people don't care about you at. You want them to like really like, I fuck with Dave. I fuck with Jalen so heavy. They do any event or I'm pulling up. Or you want them to be like, can't stand them niggas. I hate them niggas. You know what I'm saying?
For all the ones that can't stand you, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
You gotta have either or.
Because if you don't fuck with me, that means the fact that you don't fuck with me also helps me. Because you're not for me. Yeah. And I think that's another misconception. They think everybody in the audience. No. Somebody might fuck with me and Jalen. They might not fuck with you. And vice versa. And that's why this makes this industry so open. Because it's like, it's about the personalities at the end of the day with the podcast.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And you said something a while back, right? It was like, the biggest thing for if you want to build a personal brand is not be afraid to give your opinion on something.
Facts.
And I think that's what a lot of people are scared of. They're so scared of cancel culture and tiptoeing on the line and shit. But if you can at least share your opinion, and that's why Kanye West is so polarized, right?
That's why.
It's because he don't give a fuck what he say, and he gonna say it.
Yeah, exactly. And he gonna say things that, because let's be
real. He gonna double down on the shit.
And it's a lot of things that people say. It's a lot of stuff that the average person is thinking, but themselves scared to say it because they don't want to get canceled. So somebody like whoever is creating the content saying it is like, damn, he's saying exactly what I want to say.
Andrew Tate.
That's why he's so big. Polarizing. He's saying a lot of shit that how men personally feel. And he being that voice for a lot of unheard men. And that's why they fucking love the fuck
Kevin
out of
Samuels.
Kevin Samuels. You either love the fuck out of these people or you fucking hate them. When they die, or when Kevin died, people was cheering.
That shit was wild.
You ain't never seen no shit like that.
I said, y'all really wild. Yeah, he told you motherfuckers step y'all game up, and y'all felt played.
Bro, that's what it is. Bro, you just got to, I think as a creator, you got to accept that because you don't want that. The middle ground is the most dangerous place to be. You either want to be loved or hated. And once you accept that, I feel like, your content, your brand gonna either grow. So just say fuck trying to be liked by everybody. Just speak my mind. Cause if we naturally speak our mind, we gonna fizzle out a lot of motherfuckers. They gonna be like, that person crazy. I completely disagree. Fuck him. He an asshole. He a dickhead. Whatever they gonna say, they gonna say a bunch of shit. So like I told myself in 2023, I'm saying whatever the fuck I wanna say. And I'm gonna find I already got an audience, but I'm gonna find an even bigger, more audience because it's gonna people say, I hate this nigga. I ain't fucking with him. But I realized though, people don't ignore what they dislike. And that's why.
Ooh, that's a bar.
That's why people like, you talk about the Kanyes, the Andrew Tates, and Kevin Samuels, that they should grow so much because when you scrolling, it don't matter what platform it is, and you see some, I'm talking about the average person. Me personally, I don't give a fuck. But the average person, when they see something that really, like, they really disagree
with. They put it on their story.
They fucking hate. They put it on their story. Quote tweet. Motherfucker, what the fuck you talking about? Fuck you. Or they share it to somebody. This nigga stupid. You know what I'm saying? I learned that people don't ignore what they got disdain for. They don't know how to do it. You know what I'm saying? That's why shit go viral. You go through the top 10 viral list. It's all shit that people completely disagree with. Like, it's like, if y'all disagree with it, why the fuck y'all talking about it? Just ignore it.
That what you call it, girl. When you saying that made me think about it, like, the average person really don't recognize that's how this shit work, right? That's the period, girl, right?
Yeah.
Everybody hated that shit. They hated it, but they all reposting it and quote tweeting it. And each time you quote tweeting it, you put it in front of your audience.
You put it in front of the
audience. So as a content creator, you should leverage that information for yourself. It's like, yeah, it might piss a few people off. Yeah, somebody might think.
But motherfucker gonna share it.
They gonna share it. And at the end of the day, that's helping you, because I'm a firm believer that the people who support you support in silence.
They do.
The people who hate you, they gonna be the loudest.
They gonna be loud. Mm. And that's why you gotta lean into that hate more, because those people that love you, they not resharing it. They just solidly like, yeah, I fuck with this. They might message you like, that's hard. But the people that hate you, they the loudest, bro. They making duets on TikTok. You know what I'm saying?
Look at this dumb motherfucker.
I completely, you like, damn. And then, but that's that engagement is bringing you more and more and more traction.
Hell yeah. Like,
that's the only reason somebody like Andrew Tate is the most popular person in the world. Donald Trump, Andrew Tate, Kanye West, Kevin Samuels. We could do this shit all day. We go on and on and on. All these people are known strictly for having opinions and thoughts that a lot of people hate, but they can't shut the fuck up about it.
And they can't get them to shut up.
And they can't get them to shut up.
Hmm. I think cancel culture a myth, but that's just me.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's a myth. I ain't seen nobody successfully get canceled yet.
That's good.
R. Kelly. R. Kelly's music still getting bumped.
He's still getting bumped. He canceled himself. He locked up, so yeah. He fucked up. But that's a good point, though.
Used to think Daniel Caesar was canceled, but that nigga still
listen to his music. Exactly. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, cancel culture is just like the people who don't fuck with you. Same point. The people who don't fuck with you wouldn't go and fuck with you in the first place. So, what's the difference?
Cancel. Now that you say that, I think you're right. I just realized cancel culture only works if you're not performing at a high level. Mm. If you're performing at a high level, there's nothing they can do about it, because people are going to fuck with it. Kanye, as much as they say they hate Kanye, he dropped an album right now. And that's hot. The shit going to be played everywhere. If the shit is garbage, it's going to make the canceling magnified look like he's really canceled. But if he's performing at a high level, ain't nothing you can do about it.
Them niggas is going to bump
that shit.
They're going
to bump it. They're going to keep fucking with you like, hey, this nigga hot. What I'm supposed to do? You know what I'm saying? And that's within anything. That's when, if Kyrie, he was quote unquote canceled. If he came back and he was playing like a scrub, it would have been like, damn, Kyrie fucked up.
That bitch went 12-0 on their ass after that.
That nigga came back balling, getting 30, 40. He killing. Ain't no cancel. People didn't shut. They not even saying nothing about Kyrie.
They are.
That's a fact.
And he's balling. So that's just what it comes down to. Whenever they try to cancel, you just got to.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you? Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Perform at a peak level and then ain't nothing people can do about it.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want to ask you about like the personal branding side, right? Mm-hmm. Because what you've done with the podcast, like once you started to magnify, you actually really leaned into it and like you were able to grow on Twitter and stuff like that really well. How'd you start to develop that sense of personal branding, and how'd you really start to amplify it?
Sharing my thoughts and opinions, bro, to be real. I didn't even know, like, I ain't had no strategy. Like, with Twitter, I got on Twitter, and I just started talking about shit that I thought was common sense to me, because this is how I was brought up. And then when I would say things, it would get a huge reaction out of people. People would get upset. A lot of people just get mad or say whatever. I used to be like, I thought this shit was common sense. So now I'm just doubling down. I'm just sharing my thoughts even more. And I guess I could type well where people can understand what I'm saying or misunderstand, so that make it even better. But that's just really what it is, not being afraid to share, like, my true feelings and thoughts on things, while also providing some value where there's information with it. Because that's like, you know, in this content industry, at the end of the day, you either got to be entertaining, informal, or inspirational. I strive to be all three. So I think if you all three, it's only a matter of time before you blow.
What's good, my wealthy people?
Are you a small business owner looking for funding to grow and expand your operations? Are you tired of all the business credit gurus promising big results and then under-delivering? Here at Black Wealth Renaissance, we understand the unique challenges Black business owners face when it comes to securing funding. And that's why we're excited to announce our partnership with U Leverage Capital to provide comprehensive funding solutions to Black business owners. Our team of experts at the Business Credit Suite have the knowledge and experience to help you find the right funding options for your business. With the Business Credit Suite, you'll get access to a powerful software that walks you through the process step by step to guarantee that you're going to get the funding options that are best for your business. And on top of that, you're going to have a team of dedicated agents to give personalized advice to you to help you grow your business. Visit blackwealthrenaissance.com/funding today and take the first step to securing the funding that you need to grow your business and succeed as a Black business owner.
In my opinion,
that's hard. So I kind of want to go a little bit deeper in the podcast realm now too. So once again, we all started at the same time. Mm-hmm. I know we didn't really start learning how to navigate the money situation till what it was, maybe second, third year of the pod?
Like making money from the pod? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was all off the love, Zoom, mm-hmm. and funding from our other endeavors.
I already know.
What was your first check from podding, and what did that feel like?
The first check. So my first check from podding, it was probably like $50. This was like within the first couple of months.
Was that from Anchor?
The Anchor check?
Yeah, hey. The Anchor check. That monetization. That was amazing. Bro, I swear to God, that was like the best feeling in the world because I didn't get in there for money. I got in there, this was just a hobby. This was me having fun. So seeing that money, I'm like, oh, damn.
Wait a minute.
They just paid me for talking? Hey, fuck this. I'm finna double down. We got to go crazy now. So that was just like, yeah, that turned me up. And then after that, yeah, it was over with. We turned up. Like, we finna really monetize this thing. And I don't think people realize how many ways you can monetize a podcast.
That's a fact.
There's so many things you could do. You got merchandise. You got affiliates. You got live events. You know what I'm saying? It's so, well, I'm forgetting some shit.
You can sell
your own product.
I think me watching back, remembering y'all's story, I think one of the big things that hit for y'all was the morning text thing y'all was doing.
You can build a community.
Build a community. That's what we did. We had a morning text thing, and we had so many people on that shit. I don't even know. I can't even remember why we stopped it. We stopped it after a while, but we had so many people on there where we just send them a morning inspirational text. But then when the episode dropped, hey, the episode out. Now I got thousands of people on the text. Soon as they read, everybody, ain't nobody ignoring the text. Even you might not respond, but you see that motherfucker. Mm-hmm. So you see that text and you click that. Now you tapped into the episode immediately. So that was one of the dope ways that we utilized to grow our brand too. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. And like just going on to that monetization piece some more, like you selling your own products, you marketing, marketing for people, advertising, that's right. One of the big ones.
Speaking
like
engagements.
You can do through the platforms, like speaking engagements. That's one that we've been tapping into more recently. but like marketing, people think like you just got to do the Anchor thing. Bro, you can approach local businesses.
Facts.
You're doing video, you can do product placement.
Facts.
Like, I know Jalen got the tequila bottle. Hey,
I ain't putting El Padrino. Unless some niggas pay me, I ain't putting
good,
shit up.
Fuck.
Just look, I'm drinking
nice.
Some Reposado, right. Bitch. But I ain't putting your logo in shit.
Nope. Straight up, talk that shit.
Talk to me nice. Like I'm saying, like, there's so many ways, and like, and this is a national brand, right? But you can approach mm-hmm. local brands. You can approach small businesses in the area. Even if your audience is like 300 people, right? If you 300 people, and this is a tax service, local tax service. Hey, I got 300 people. I put you in on each episode for $300 for a month. At least you're making something. whatever it is, the cost of your production, you can cover the cost of your production by just being strategic in that way.
No, mm-hmm. facts. And what's crazy, this just crossed my mind. But the only thing about monetization, I would say for the people that's listening, specifically if you monetizing within our industry, is you got to be careful of having the bullshit artists, because when people know that you monetize your platform, you got somebody on there that you might not even be aware. That's how it would be. You never aware of somebody that's scamming or nothing like that. We don't be fucking on that shit. You know what I'm saying? So when somebody come on that scamming, the people from the outside, they looking like, oh, you had to know. You had them on your platform. It's monetized. And now you like, hold on. So that's the thing, that when you do become monetized, just for this shit I learned over time, that vetting process, if you a guest-oriented show, that vetting process has to be so much more harder, because you don't want no bullshit artists coming on your show.
That's a fact.
And I'm glad you brought that up, right? Because I wanted to get into this. One, the vetting process. Whenever we started, there was no blueprint for what we were doing, right? A lot of the things, we was just learning, like bumping our head, or our audience was growing so much, it's like people were reaching out to us and like, hey, I want to be on the show. And like I said earlier, sometimes it's like, okay, how do I keep content coming out? So I might just go get this person because they reached out to me and I looked into them surface level and like, oh yeah, they look good. Like what it look like they doing is right. But how do you deepen that vetting process? What y'all doing now?
So what I like to do is I like to reach out to people. Like everybody got mutuals these days. I like to reach out to people that I trust and know, like I know this is a solid person. I trust their judgment and just keep it real with me. Like, hey, you know this person? If they know him, what you think about them? They solid? They really taking care of business? They really living his life? If they like, yeah, they definitely is. I know him. He really doing it. Or they like, I don't know. If they say I don't know,
heard some shit,
right? You know? I didn't heard some shit. I'm like, all right, I need to take this a step back and just don't move. Let's do some more information, some more dives on it. So that's really what we do for sure. And like I said, now we also got a contract. So if we find out you're doing any fraudulent activity that we were unaware of, and we released the episode, you're doing some bullshit, we got the right to take all of it down. So that's what we do.
And that's smart as a brand, just to reserve your right, like, because you don't need nobody on no fuck shit on your platform.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, we've had to take episodes down for that same reason. I mean, it's a slippery slope. Yeah. It definitely is a slippery slope. And you don't want nobody to get fucked over behind. Because we do this at the end of the day, cause not only because we enjoy it, but because we also want to give good information to people. I want to see y'all better your life.
Exactly.
I love getting messages that say, hey, look, I just purchased my first property because of you guys.
Facts.
Or I increased my credit score because of you guys. Or I learned how to trade. I got interested in this because of you guys.
Facts.
So like Dave is saying, like, this is all purely for the betterment of you all. And we do take this responsibility very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times people, like you said, whenever something does come out, it's like, damn, I didn't even see that. It's like, I did have a duty and a responsibility to protect you from this type of thing.
Exactly. And you, like I said, you don't want to be on pocket watching with JT, man.
Nah, man.
You don't want to be on pocket watching. And shout out to JT, man.
Yeah, like, shout out, man.
You know, I know a lot of creators, they be upset with him, but I ain't got no problem with it. Even if he might one day catch one of my episodes on some bullshit, you know what I'm saying? But I respect what he's doing because it is necessary.
The constructive criticism.
It's constructive criticism, and it's necessary because, as we know, we've been podding long enough now. It's a lot of bullshit artists out here. It's a lot of these motherfuckers that claim they do so-and-so, claim they making so much money, but they ain't got nothing but bad intent for people. They ain't got nothing but the intent to scam, steal, fuck you over, not come through what they said they was going to do. So it is necessary because it holds a lot of people accountable. That if they know it's somebody in the community,
they got that watch.
They got that watch.
Not.
They watching to make sure everybody on their P's and Q's. So I ain't got no problem with it.
Me neither, man. JT is an interesting brother. JT, we love to hang on the platform. Yeah, man. Just so happen to hit it. But,
both of the platforms.
Right. But talk about it.
No, I did kind of want to pivot from podcast.
Hey, man, let's do it.
Something interesting that more recently, like now, you know, we entering into this economic uncertainty. We in a recession right now. And we've seen the crypto markets going to another bear market now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you started investing in crypto early, like I think
2017.
Yep. So you saw a cycle prior to this. Was it like the ICO era and all that?
Yeah. So, initial coin offerings.
What is your current outlook with crypto right now? What you thinking about the market?
Crypto down bad right now, but I still got the same output, bro. I'm in it long term. I said when I got in, like, man, this is 2030, 2035, 2040 game plan. So whatever happens in between time, as I might not like it, but I'm willing to sit through it. And I could be completely wrong. I said this from the jump. Like, I could be completely missing on this investment. But that's the risk I'm willing to take. And for those that listen to me or they look up to me, they doing the same thing. It's like, hear what I'm saying. Like, well, if you're going to do it strategically and wisely. Don't be putting all your eggs into this shit because it could go south. Yeah. You could lose everything. So as far as what's going on right now, though, it's not really bothering me because I still look at it long term.
It's nothing new either. It's nothing
new. Yeah. I went through it.
It's very similar to that.
I would say this might be, I don't know off top the statistic wise, but this might be worse. I remember it was a crazy drop in 2018. It was crazy. I can't remember if this was better than that though.
Cause I know like just the way it looks right now, everybody down on it. Like, oh man, this shit ain't never gonna work. It's like, it's crazy to me cause y'all loved Bitcoin 8 months ago when it was 60. But now it's 19, 18. It's like
a better investment opportunity. Let me
stay away from that shit. You know that shit bad over there. Like, nah, bro, you wildin'. Yeah. Like, if I loved it at 60 and I bought it at 60, I'ma buy it again. And I'ma keep buying it. But my thing is that I think what I've seen now that I'm able to finally see a full cycle, I start seeing the trends, right? Mm-hmm. NFTs was basically the same thing as ICOs.
I never bought an NFT.
I can understand why.
Like, I got burnt. I ain't gonna lie. I got burnt by a few.
Because like when you start thinking about it, we was kind of early and the utility was always the same. Right. Like it was always, oh man, we're gonna be able to do so much with it. But what we gonna be able to do with it?
What you gonna be able to, that's why I never bought one. When I used to hear people talk about it, I used to be like, that's cool. But in my mind, it just never made. I was like, all right, you could do this, you could do that. But why would I want to do that? That's why it just never makes like it never made sense to me. Everybody that made, I know some people that made some big bread in it. I'm like, man, salute to y'all. But me, I just don't see the value in this shit. Mm-hmm. At least right now, I don't.
But that's also the other piece of it too. Knowing when to sell. That's what this whole cycle right, showed me too. It's like, cause I got in on the GameFi trend, right? And I'm like, man, I'm making 600% on my motherfucking money, bitch. I feel good. I'm walking around feeling great. You know what I'm saying? 600%. But then it's like, okay, how long is this going to happen realistically? Like, let's keep it real. How long is this going to happen? Whenever I seen them cut from 600% to 400%, I should have sold right then and there. Because it's like, okay, obviously this is slowing down. The money's stopping. So, like, I think the market showed me a lot about when to sell with crypto now. No. Whenever people talking about it,
Get the fuck out.
Take some profits.
Ain't nobody talking about it right now. So, if you are an investor, I ain't telling you to go buy, but if you is somebody that believe in crypto and got the money to invest in it, you probably should. But if you don't, let's talk about this because, man, I feel like this was an important conversation. And this is my opinion. If you don't got a 6 month emergency fund, you shouldn't be investing at all. That's not really talked about in our community because everybody trying to sell some shit.
Everybody trying to get rich fast. Everybody trying to sell a course.
All that shit, so they'll tell you, buy my stuff, invest in that. But if you ain't got 6 months of emergency savings, you shouldn't be investing in shit. Not Bitcoin, not real estate, not stocks, nothing.
Because keep when your money. Shit hit the fan, what do you have what to do you lean have? On?
Now you got to liquidate. Now you got to liquidate money that might not even be there no more. Mm. You might have put $100 into something. The market went down, that $100 is $47 now.
And you needed that
$100. You needed that $100. So that's why... Man, like, I really hope people take heed to that. Like, if you don't got your 6 months of emergency seven, and to be real, I'm saying 6 months would be nice. In my opinion, I think it really should be closer to 12, especially specifically for times like these. I don't think you should be investing at all, unless it's maybe like a 401k. All right, cool. But
some through your job. Some through your job. Tax benefit type
exactly,
shit.
Exactly, yeah. Tax benefits. But, like, on your own, hitting the stock market, trying to do real estate, all that shit, keep your fucking money. Don't spend nothing because when hard times hit, that money that you invested, you're going to go liquidate that shit. And it's not going to be the same.
It's not going to be the same at all. 50%
cut than what you put in there. But people don't say this shit, man. It's true. Let's be real. People don't say that shit. They're going to be like, yeah, buy this. You're going to invest in that. Like, man, this motherfucker don't even got $2,500. Why are you telling him to invest his money?
At all.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He got 25.
If he loses his job right now,
his job is over. He could pay rent for a month, maybe 2 months. It's over. So you telling him to invest? He shouldn't be invested. If anything, he should be investing in anything, it's maybe to start a business. But a low cost business that's gonna cost him, if he got $2,500, the business, let's say it costs $200 to start.
Something that's gonna help you increase your income. Not your active income, not your passive income.
Exactly, not no passive income, your active income.
Cause if you're trying to, that's a, who taught us that?
Active versus passive?
Nah, Auntie Sandy, Hood Estates.
Okay.
She had told us that. Like,
yeah, shout out to
that's my people.
Her and Pocky said, people get passive income mistaken because they think passive income means no work.
Exactly.
You need more active income to create passive income. You can't just skip that step. Like, if you making a $4,000 a month and you taking $1,000 of that and trying to make passive income, you're not going to replace that 4 bands in a year, 2 years, three years. It's going to take a long-ass time. So if you can find a way to take that $4,000 and increase it to $10,000, now you get a better chance of increasing that passive income.
Because you're still living off of two, and now you got eight you can just throw into some investment shit.
No, facts. Like, but niggas be thinking, I make $3,800 at the job. I could take this $3,800, invest half of it, and I could start making $10,000 a month within the next 3 months. Like, nigga, what?
Who told you this?
That's not the way business works.
But this is shit people really be believing, bro. Like, I be getting some unbelievable DMs and messages from people. I be like, nigga, this is a terrible idea, bro. Don't do that.
Bro,
you tell them straight up like that?
Bro, absolutely terrible. I tell people, if you ain't got 6 months of savings minimum, don't invest in shit. I don't care what it is. I don't care how great the opportunity sounds, because you don't know what the fuck could happen. Ain't nothing guaranteed.
Bro, I know you be getting the messages, too, from the people with the fake pages with you. Man.
I don't get them. They be blocking me.
Oh, I'm talking about, like, them niggas be people that know you.
Like, yeah.
Like, man, motherfuckers hit me up one time. They listened to the pod. Shout out to you. I think your name was Alex. Shout out, Alex. He's like, yeah, bro, you was telling me about these Bitcoin mining investments. And I said, wait a minute, motherfucker. I ain't told you about nothing.
I don't even know how to mine, nigga.
But it's like, it's crazy because, like, what you say, it makes so much sense, right? It's having that baseline first. Bro, have that baseline so you're not out here operating out of this need to try to make this money turn into all the money you ever going to need. It's like, bro, if somebody telling you they're going to take $500 and turn it into $3,000 in 2 weeks, they are lying to you. And they're going to take your $500 and they're going to take five other people's $500 and they're going to turn it into 3 bands for themselves in a week.
That's what they gonna do. They gonna block your ass. You ain't gonna be able to hear phone.
Oh yeah, now your page hack.
Your page, right? Now your page hack. Oh, I'll be like, people really be falling for this shit, bro. And I'll be like, you know, as for what we do, at the end of the day, we leaders within the culture. People look up to us for guidance, influence, all that thing. So it really be, I'll be feeling like it's our duty sometimes to let people know, like, hey man, I know y'all, we giving y'all financial game. We got guests giving y'all financial game. And most of it is some dope, some shit that could change your life. But at the end of the day, you got to get that just the basic shit down first before you start going off on this crazy shit. Motherfuckers
can't be skipping steps.
Can't be skipping motherfuckers.
Fundamentals.
Fundamentals, bro. Like, niggas really be having $5,000 total save and be telling me, oh, I'm about to get into trucking.
You going like, to get bro, you get finna your shirt get burnt, taken.
Bro.
Like, nigga, that's not even an engine blowout. Like, that's you blowing fucking 5-6 tires.
So fast,
that's your money gone.
Man, I remember like 3-4 years, like 4 years ago. I don't remember who it was. I wish I could remember. It was some nigga I seen on YouTube. He was an older white dude. And he was like, you shouldn't be investing if you don't have $100,000 saved. And at the time,
I thought he was tripping?
I said, that's the stupidest shit I ever heard in my life. Because I was like, I wouldn't even be in the position that I'm in if I took that strategy. But as the year's going on, I'm seeing a lot of people getting in fucked up situations. I might not 100% agree with that, but I'm like, it make a lot of sense. Because $100,000, it ain't rich or nothing like that, but it's a good cushion for you. Once you got $25,000, all it takes is one mistake to get you back down to $2,500. So that's why I think his opinion for that 100 was because he give you that cushion. If you fuck up, I still got 50 left, and that's a big fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a big fuck up, and you only got 20 bands, you right back down to nothing, bro. Like nothing. And how many of us seen people go through that?
They I've might have 20. I've been through it personally.
Exactly, bro. That's what I'm saying. It's common, especially within the community, because at the end of the day, a lot of us, we don't come from handouts. We ain't got rich parents, rich family members, and we trying to work and get up there. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, trying to move so fast, we'll fuck up.
You bump your head.
You bump your head. That's just part of the game. Nigga, I took a six-figure L last year.
Sheesh.
Gone. Money just gone for good. I'm like, damn. So I know L's is just a part of the game, but at the end of the day, luckily, I'm in a position where I could still live my life. You know what I'm saying? I don't got to do no, I ain't got to start selling shit mm-hmm. or nothing like that. But I know the average person, if they took an L like that or even close to it.
It's a nail in the coffin.
It's a nail in the coffin, bro. Like, and a lot of times, people never bounce back from things like that. So that's why I feel like it was important to talk about that, because I know I get so many DMs, bro. I got 1500. What should I invest in? Nigga, nothing. Invest in yourself. Go buy some books. You know what I'm saying? Maybe start a business if you business oriented. Because I don't even like telling everybody to start a business, bro. Because business is not for everybody.
It's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody. It's like, bro, go self-educate yourself. Go read some books. Learn
go
some
get
stuff.
These certifications so you can get some certifications, a better job.
Right, a better
increase
job.
Increase your active income.
Facts, bro.
And I'm going to be honest. Like, I think that's a lot of people's issue as well. They got low-paying jobs and entrepreneurship was so glamorized right. over the past few years. There's right. like, you know what? I don't need a job. I'm just going to make money with entrepreneurship and this is going to be my ticket out. But they don't understand that you still have to have a skill set and a great worth ethic to get to there.
Bro.
And you doing a bullshit job. You on the fryer machine at McDonald's.
You can't even do that right.
Yeah, shit, nigga. You on the fryer machine at McDonald's. You need a better job.
You need a better job, bro. Get your skills up.
Exactly. $8 an hour is what? How much a year? That's like probably.
Nigga, that's I don't know. I don't even want to calculate that shit.
That shit sounds scary as hell.
It do.
I don't want to calculate that.
And I said that to say that, right? Because I came from a low-paying job, and then I switched to the insurance adjusting industry. And I ended up starting touching real paper through this shit. Mm-hmm. And it was like, damn. Like, nigga, I don't mind going to work. Like, I was doing what I was doing before at a job paying me much less. I was working throughout the day, working on my business after this. Now that I'm touching real paper, nigga, I'll do this and that. And now I don't have to worry about being my business having $100,000 a month every month in order for me to survive, because I got this money coming in from my insurance adjusting. Now I can let my business grow organically. I can make sure that we put money into the right places. We got our marketing
from the business.
Exactly. We got our marketing right. We investing into the right systems, things of that nature. Once you start touching real paper, working at a job feel different.
It do. Because you know, like, man, y'all get on my nerves too much. I'm just out this motherfucker. I don't have to be here.
Exactly.
I'm just here because I'm just trying to grow.
And if you got the skill set, you're now a valued asset.
Exactly. And they don't even want you to leave once you got the skill set. Man, I said this years ago on a podcast episode. I don't know if it was 2019 or 2020. I said at the end of the day.
Hi, everyone. Jazzy Bell here from Woman in Hip Hop Podcast. And if you're a fan of music, then be sure to check out and subscribe to Woman in Hip Hop Podcast, a show that focuses on the many talents and influences from women within the culture. And is brought to you exclusively by Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip hop, powered by creators.
I don't believe people want to be entrepreneurs. I just believe people want to be financially free, but they think entrepreneurship is the only way. But it's not. Mm-hmm. They really believe, like, man, it's the, because then you have so many people that's winning and that was especially winning. You talk about 2020, you know, so
hey, man, PPP, everybody was winning from 2020 to 2021.
So it looked easy, you know what I'm saying? And the reality is, when it's
and
a bull
market, playing with the game sliders, you know, up right now,
exactly, bro. In a bull market, everybody a genius. You could do anything and start making some dough, and you feel like, man, I could do this shit forever, it's lit. But then as times get hard, it's like, all right, let's see who really want to be an entrepreneur.
That's what this time is right now. Facts. This time is about to weed out a lot of the people who thought that there was down the bang. But like, when shit get hard, like, are you going to go back to the craft? Are you going to be back in the lab? Like, are you going to really put in that dirty work and figure out, okay, this is what I did to get there. How can I now 10x this and make sure that while this is going, the market's going down, I'm still able to eat? So many of our mentors and friends have told us, if you can survive through this era, nigga, you good for life.
No, that's facts, bro. If you could, and I was just talking to my guy, Donovan Ruffin, yesterday. We was having, no, this 2 days ago. We was having a similar conversation. We were just saying, as much as we love the bull markets, we need the bear markets, because you're gonna learn so much more in a bear than what you would learn in a bull market.
That makes so much sense. Because
the bull market,
you start making mistakes.
You start making mistakes.
You start thinking you can move any type of way. Because like Jalen just said, you playing with the sliders up.
Exactly.
I could pull up from half court. I'm gonna hit the shot.
Cash.
But like that make a lot of sense.
Bear is about strategy, skill, education, and that's the time you really, you know what I'm saying, lock in and learn those things. So bear markets are absolutely necessary, especially for young people. Because we hitting our head, and now we like, this is how I really go. Not only that, we got nephews, nieces, little brothers, kids. We could get this game to our kids now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because they gonna experience it. Like, what the fuck? Life, it's a cycle. Shit gonna continue on. Our kids gonna be fucking teenagers, adults at some point. We can say, hey, in 2022, 2023,
this how this shit went.
So you need to prepare yourself to this. Do this. Do that. Do that. So it's these times, in my opinion, is absolutely necessary.
Mm. And on the bear market, shout out to Wendy on Twitter. Wendy was like, it's not a bear market, it's a build market. This is where you build in yourself, and this is where you invest in the companies that are really building sustainable things. Even like crypto, right? Like, pay attention to which coin and which ecosystem is still building. Mm. If these niggas went under, like, fucking Tether and all these other, okay, like them niggas fell by the wayside, but who's still building? That's who's gonna last throughout this market.
Really with the shits. Speaking of Tether and the ones that fell, Zay, I gotta ask you, man, how you felt about that whole Sam Bankman FTX shit?
Man, that shit was crazy, bro.
That was one of my favorite fucking exchanges.
For real, I never used it.
Really? I did use it. I was big on FTX.
Me too, though.
Again, for real, I actually sold most of my stuff. Like, as the market started turning down, I was like, okay, I'm getting off all exchanges. I'm just going to use Cold Wallet, put Bitcoin in there, and we staying there. I'm not messing with all these other altcoins, because started recognizing, it's like, shout out to Bitcoin. Zay, he was the one that put that in my head. It's like, end of the day, we talk about this ecosystem. Bitcoin is the U.S. dollar. It's like the reserve currency of the crypto ecosystem. So it's like, okay, if I'm going to invest in cryptocurrency and the market's going into a bear market, I would rather invest in the reserve currency than all these little coins who I may have the potential to 10x, 20x my money, but I also had the potential to just hit zero. So it's just like, it made more sense to me. It's like, okay, let's go ahead and just move it all off. But that FTX shit was crazy, man.
Bro, that shit is crazy. A lot of people got burnt, bro. I seen stories of athletes losing $15 million.
Tom Brady
lost. How much they say he lost?
I think he lost his fortune, bro. They said like $650 or some shit like that mil. Yeah. Yeah. Tom Brady whole thing, son.
Tom Brady look like you ain't about to retire no time.
Nah, dog.
Hey, that's crazy, though.
Yeah, I think they said his whole thing. I was like, yo, that's wild.
Oh, man. Come on, Tom.
I know Steph was one of them.
Steph was one of them. Yeah, bro. It's like a lot of people, bro. That shit. The crypto, at the end of the day, bro, people got to understand crypto is fairly, it's still, at the end of the day, it's still fairly new.
It's in its infancy.
How you feel about regulation?
Regarding what?
Cryptocurrency.
I feel like that defeats the whole purpose of crypto.
So you still with the original ethos of crypto of like, this is created to be an alternative currency system, peer to peer.
That's private. That I got complete control over. That's why I fucked with it. So when we talk about regulation, I'm like, that was one of the reasons why I never fucked with Ripple. Because I'm like, in my opinion, this defeats the point of cryptocurrency. Because it's regulated.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's just what I think about it.
Okay.
I'm not opposed to the idea of regulation. I feel like we need it at one point.
That's fair, bro.
Like,
I think it's needed for mass adoption. Me personally,
yeah, no. You right, bro. For mass adoption, it's gonna be something got to happen.
I don't feel like the average person, and I said this before, niggas got my time. I was like, I don't think the average person is gonna want to learn as much as it takes to learn to transact in the peer to peer crypto world. Whereas it's
I agree.
Like it's like, okay, I gotta go get this wallet, and then I gotta send it to this key. It's like, well, right. How this shit how work? First
I'm gonna send that shit to somebody else.
They send it to the wrong one. Like, I feel like the average person wouldn't spend the time. Like, I think it's needed, but to your point, it does defeat the original purpose.
It does.
And with that, I wonder if Jay's basically, I wonder what's next for crypto.
You're right, bro. I'm thinking from a personal, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking it from a personal level when I say regulation. But at the end of the day, I think for mass adoption, to some degree, for the average person, the 65-year-old woman,
that's another thing with FTX, right? It was a bank in Canada that held their teachers' pensions in that shit.
That shit is insane, bro.
Wiped out. Bitch, I've been working for 50 years. And my shit gone because of y'all niggas.
Bro, that's it. Man, I'm
getting it back in blood.
What?
Like, I'm getting it back. Somebody got to see me.
See your pension gone, bro?
Gone, dog.
That's why we tell people all the time when they get into crypto, I say, man, this shit is a risky. This shit could go to absolute zero. It can. Ain't no investment guarantee, but in our community, man, we still got this get rich quick.
Casino mentality. Very bro. Gamblish.
They throw something in the game, see what pop. Hopefully it pop.
That lotto mentality. Yeah.
When in reality, that's the quickest way to go broke.
Facts. I ain't never seen nobody personally get rich off the lotto. I know motherfuckers been buying lotto tickets their whole life.
You ain't never seen no. I know one of my neighbors I grew up with. They won $1 million.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like
the only people I know.
Did personally. They do right by it or you know they?
Now, I ain't never seen them wild out. They stayed in the same house. I think they might have got like a car, but they still got the same house to this day. And that was 20 years ago.
That's smart.
It's shout like, out to neighbor. Instead of putting it on just a chance, like, think about it. If I'm spending $5 a day on some lotto tickets on the chance of getting rich, what's the benefit if I just took that same $5 a day I spent? That's $150 a month, and I used it to invest in myself.
In yourself.
And used it to go get an IA license like we did, or spend the time, save some money, go to a boot camp and earn one of these tech jobs where it's like 3 years from now, you might be making 30K at your job. Now you found a job, you making 200. Where it's like,
all that shit changed.
But it didn't happen overnight.
That shit changed, dog.
It didn't happen overnight, but it happened because you took the time to learn the skill. And like,
skills change your life, bro.
That's it.
You get the right skill, you start making some good money, your life could change fairly. I ain't gonna say like overnight, but it could change in a good time. Where it seemed like it was overnight.
Especially in the grand scheme of life, it's almost overnight, right?
It'll seem like it for sure.
Especially if you don't indulge in lifestyle creep as well. If you do it properly and you keep your bills and everything the same and you start making a lot more paper,
Niggas ain't doing that, though.
Shit feel different, dog.
I'm going to the Louis store.
They going to Louis. They going to the club. They taking chicks on trips. Spending a bag on them, that's just like a rite of passage for a lot of niggas. They gonna blow that, you know what I'm saying? That's what niggas do, especially if they getting it while they're young. That's why I think getting bread when you're young is a blessing.
It's a gift and a curse.
It's a gift and a fucking curse, bro. Because you feel like, oh, I'm gonna be like this forever. I'm always beginning. You just start doing dumb shit because you ain't lived enough to know better for real. Mm-hmm. You don't really know. You like, I could blow this bread, and it's always going to be like this. I could blow this 10 real quick. I could blow this 20 in a month doing some dumb shit. The whole time, when some hard times hit, you thinking like, damn, I could use that 20 right now.
Hard times are a good investment opportunity.
It is, bro. And now you got the money to invest.
Yeah, you got to spend it on bullshit.
You got to have the money to invest. Everybody say they be waiting on to a bear market to invest until the bear market come, and now they ain't got no money. You know what I'm saying? Everybody in the whole world, man, when Bitcoin hit this, when real estate hit that, I'm loading the boat. I'm buying up everything.
Loading the boat with what, dog?
Who the fuck y'all know buying for real right now? I ain't seeing it on the gram. I ain't seeing it on Twitter.
I don't see the screen.
Who y'all know that's like, man, I just bought a 4 unit, an 8 unit. I'm doing this. It ain't too many people that's doing it.
Nope.
Because niggas, a lot of niggas really just be full of shit. They just be talking for real.
Yeah. That's facts.
Y'all know I ain't lying, man.
Yeah. That's a fact.
Like your tweet said, man, everybody rich till you hang out
everybody with them. Everybody rich until you hang out with them. Then you like, niggas asking you to pitch in. You like, hold on, nigga, you on the gram, you made $1 million last year. Or this year.
That's a fact, dog. Even being a podcaster, because you come in contact with more of those type of people.
Facts.
Even with us, it was like, damn. This person said he was doing that. That background at that house look a little different. That background at that house.
How many? Y'all been potting for a minute. How many niggas that then came on y'all show that on the gram, everybody think this is the richest nigga in the world? Because you ain't even, you get around certain people, your presence could tell, like certain little things you could do, you can be like, I don't think this person is who they say they is. That shit happens, bro.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, bro. That shit be happening. You be like, ah, that's why, man. It's a gift and a curse of potting too.
It is,
because potting, you learn to not look up to nobody, because you don't. These people online, it's not the same person in real life.
And when we be yelling that shit, niggas be like, man, how y'all know? How y'all discrediting everything? Bitch, I met a lot of these niggas.
And then the thing is too, it's not even always just on the money standpoint.
No, it's
too.
Not, bro.
A lot of times it's on the character. It's the person that, like, yes. You start seeing what a person values is, yes. Whenever you having these conversations, it's like,
this person is a piece of shit.
Yeah, I can't fuck with him.
I can't fuck with him. Outside of recording, I'm going my way, you go yours. We say peace. We ain't never got to speak again.
You a real slime ball. It's even episodes we've done that we have not released, because it was just like,
same here, bro. Same here.
I'm not fucking with that shit, dog.
Same here. But if you're not in the industry, you're not even going to understand this conversation, because you just seeing this person highlights on Instagram or whatever platform. That's all so it you is think, on there. Oh, they super lit. It's like, I got people that I respect. I respect a lot of people, but it's nobody that, at the end of the day, we all human. And we all fuck up, make mistakes, and ain't none of us. But it's a lot of us that's full of shit, too. So I know, like, I got to get around somebody first to see how they move, see how they vibe, how consistent the conversation with them. Then I'm like, no, I got that nigga solid, or she solid, or whatever. But other than that, it's like, people be asking me about people. Don't ask me shit. I don't know nothing. We making content. I know what I heard. They say what they do. Other than that, personal wise, I don't know nothing. I don't want to be around them. Nothing. I handle my business. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
that's how I see it.
So
it's one last thing I want to get into with you, and it's the way you make content. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're really good at taking your everyday life and making content out of it. How'd you learn how to navigate that and start really just doing it? Cause some people not even comfortable with that.
No, they not. So you're right, bro. That's a good question. What I do, I just look for inspiration to certain things. What I think is dope. What I see, I could watch and study other. I'm a studier, bro. I watch things, and what I like, I pick up, and what I don't like, I let it go. Like, prime example, just last night, I was watching Barbara Walters interviews, bro. You know what I'm saying? She just passed away. Rest in peace. I was watching her interview, Vladimir Putin. And Robert, what's the Kardashian's dad? His name Robert.
Rob, right? I think so.
Rob Kardashian and Vladimir Putin. I was just watching because at the end of the day, we in the same field, like for real. Even though this
she reached the pinnacle,
and she reached the fucking pinnacle, bro. She didn't interview the biggest niggas of all time, bro. So I was just watching some of her shit. But what I was saying is, like, I'm just a study, bro. So I could see stuff. I'm like, man, that's fly, and I'm like, I could implement this on my own way. I ain't copying nobody. Cause I'm gonna put my own twist and my own thing into it, and I just put the camera up and let that shit roll. Just I ain't trying to do it. I feel like it's easier to do the shit I'm doing than trying to create something. I'm just documenting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting the camera up and I'm just doing shit I do regular. But when I be trying to think of shit what I want to do, it's like damn near impossible for me to do it because I'm thinking too much, bro. It's like, man, I don't
you spending too much time thinking and not enough time executing.
Just
doing it.
Like, man, just live your life. Do what you normally do and just put the camera up.
So you got a tripod when you be in the gym, or that be somebody recording?
No, I get somebody recording for me.
Yeah. I was like, damn, this nigga.
No, at the gym in my crib, I be having a tripod, but in the gym, I just get somebody recorded.
Nothing wrong with that, man. Yeah. That's dope, dog. I think a lot of people can learn a lot from that. It's just making your life the content, man.
Yeah, bro.
And I know it's something that I do need to do more, but sometimes I be like, man, fuck this shit. I ain't got time to be recording this shit.
You ain't got time to record.
Yeah, it's like, bitch, I'm trying to do some shit.
No, facts, bro. I definitely get what you mean, but you know, at the end of the day, this social media, Yeah. It's all based on content. Whoever got the most content gonna win.
That's a fact. That's how you keep your brand in people's faces. If you're not posting, somebody else is, and they taking the people's attention
every time.
Man, Zay, bro, this has been great, bro. Definitely glad to have you back on with you, dog. We're gonna hop into our last little questions for you, man. So, my question I like to ask everybody, man: what are you doing with your money right now to make sure that you never go broke again?
Man, that's a good question, bro. So right now, what I'm doing with my money is I'm just stacking. I'm stacking. I'm looking for opportunities that's gonna be can't misses at this point. That's what I'm doing. But I see the market just, in my opinion, at least for these next 12 months, it's probably gonna continue to go down. And I'm just looking for an opportunity. So right now, what I'm doing with my money, I'm stacking. I'm still investing into things too, though. I'm still investing into the market, stock market, crypto. But mainly, I'm just loading up. So whatever happened.
Hey, can't never go wrong with that strategy.
I'm not doing like too much, like overthinking it or trying to do some extra shit. At this point, I'm past that, trying to do extra shit to hit a home run. I'm just trying to
base hits.
You know what I'm saying? Just and that's because that's growth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to hit no motfucking grand slam.
You know I don't need saying? To get 100% return.
Now, if it happens, it happens. Yeah. If it happens, it happens. But that's the quickest way to lose. Mm. And I ain't trying to take no L's.
Okay, I got my three questions for you, my brother.
What's up, bro?
First question, are you frugal or are you a flexer?
Hey, I'm laughing because it depends on who you ask.
I'm asking you personally. Man,
bro, I feel like I'm kind of like, if it's something in the middle, whatever that gray area is, I think that's me.
I'm going to use the word that somebody else gave. Fruglexer.
I'm a fruglexer then. I got times where I'm very frugal. Then I got times like every now and then I might flex a little bit. So, yeah, I'm a fruglexer.
That's a bet. So, my second question is, I know you have, you're expecting a kid. Mm-hmm. What are you doing to leave a legacy for your seed?
Ooh, that's a great question. So, I started an investment account for my kid 5 years ago. Mm. Yeah, it's 5 years ago.
I remember you saying that shit.
It went viral. I tweeted about it a while ago. So, that's something that I've been continuously investing in since then. So, that's one. By the time my daughter is 18, she'll be well over a millionaire. If I don't fuck her money up, you know what I'm saying? But she'll be well over a million, which I'm not going to mess up, by the way, but she'll be well over a million. But beyond that, because I learned that generational wealth, it ain't even about money. It's about education. Because I could get her that money, but if she ain't educated,
she
going to fuck it up. And then it's going to be like, I did all that for what?
Exactly.
Like they say, within like extremely wealthy people, they got a saying from like shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves. Y'all ever heard of that? Mm-hmm. Like a family builds wealth and then they blow it within like a generation or two.
Yeah.
They say even billionaires.
The Vanderbilts.
I didn't even know this, bro.
They blew all that shit.
They said the average billionaire wealth is gone within two generations. We think a billionaire generation lasts for at least goddamn
2, 3, 4, 5.
You know what I'm saying? But that shit gone. So it's like, I could give my kid whatever money, but if I'm not educating her and teaching her to self-educate herself, it's irrelevant. So the things I'm doing to answer your question is I'm continuously learning and continuously doing character development so I could be the best person, not only for myself, but for her. So she could see me and she like, this is my dad. You know, kids just do what you do. So she can see what I'm doing and she strive to, you know what I'm saying, kind of character develop herself in her own way, because she obviously, I don't want her to be like me, you know what I'm saying? She a woman. She'll be a woman. But she going to character develop her own way, and that's all I can ask for, bro. Fuck the money. As long as she know, like, the values that I got that I'm stealing her, she knows to keep striving to educate herself. That's more important than anything.
I like that. My last question is, do you have life insurance?
Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
Of course.
I'm a military vet, and that's something that the military installing you as soon as you get in. And you got to get life insurance. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no turning that down. So getting out, I still just kept that same thing. Life insurance is super important, bro. They say when you die, I heard T.K. Kirkland say this. He said when you die, somebody is supposed to blow up off your death. Mm. Meaning, like, you die, you got a $500,000 million life insurance policy. Somebody supposed to get there and be They lit now. You know what I'm saying? So I believe that wholeheartedly. Yeah.
Like you just said, if you get that education piece, if you may not even been able to give them the money, but if you gave them the education and they might get that back, you might have a Master P on your hand for all you know.
Facts, bro. Facts.
Xavier, brother, again, appreciate you joining us, man. How people can tap in with you if they want to learn more about you, tap into your show, all that.
Appreciate that, man. So first I want to say, man, appreciate y'all for having me back on. Y'all already know I got the utmost respect for y'all. I love everything y'all doing. Whenever y'all want me to come through or anything else, y'all got my number, y'all hit me. I'm there right away. But the people can find me on Instagram. I'm at the official Xavier Miller. It only got one page.
And niggas not gonna DM you, man. Either.
And I'm not gonna DM you. I'm never gonna
trying to sell you no crypto, Bitcoin mining investment.
Nothing. I'm never gonna DM you if I don't know you personally. Like really know you, I'm not gonna DM you. No, hey, how's it going? And with that being said, if motherfuckers DM you and you thinking, just ask them to send you a voice note. If you like, I don't know if this him or not, send you a voice note. Send me a voice note. If they say no, they gonna say no because it's not me. So that's the easiest way to figure out if it's a scam or not. But you get, that's on Instagram. I'm at official Xavier Miller. On everything else, I'm at Xavier C. Miller. And you can find the Millionaire Mindsets podcast. That's on all platforms, everywhere. You can find it on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all that shit.
Yeah, y'all tap into that for sure, for sure. Zay, once again, appreciate you, my brother. Glad that we can be locked in for so long. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into a few house cleaning notes. I want to say thank you to everybody for listening to this episode. Y'all leave us 5 stars. Leave us a rating and review. Let us know what y'all thinking. Let us know what y'all like and don't like. If y'all hate a leave comment too, I want to see that shit too, man. I appreciate everybody for tapping in. Y'all, make sure y'all get y'all tickets.
January 28th.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.